a fancy recorder.
Oh, yes. You can plug it right in and it downloads. I'll email your wife and you can hear it on the web.
Oh, really?
The interview. Okay. Yes. So I'm sitting with Chef Keller, and you have a few restaurants, different places, and this restaurant, Fleur de Lait, has been consistently ranked as the top 25 restaurants in the U.S. by many different restaurant guides. So I have a few questions for you.
Sure, absolutely.
Did you cook when you were young?
Not really, I must say. I only started cooking when I was 16, so I had a little late start probably.
What made you decide to become a chef?
Well, I grew up in a pastry shop. My parents had a pastry shop.
You began as a pastry chef, right?
Yes. So, and then my brother took over, became a pastry chef, took over the business, the family business, and I wanted to become a pastry chef too. And then I went to school at that time with Marc Heberlin, which was the son of the famous Auberge de Lille Heberlin. And so he asked his dad if I actually could start my apprenticeship in the three-star Michelin restaurant, L'Auberge de Lille, in the pastry department. And they had like 8 pastry chefs in there. And that's how I actually get accepted, and I started my apprenticeship at L'Auberge de Lille. And then for me, even being with Mark and growing up as kids running around there, right, you never looked inside a three-star kitchen like that, right? And then suddenly, I think after working there for a few months, I think the chef saw that I was keep on picking what's happening in the kitchen and the whole thing. And that's when he asked me if I would like to come out, and also he put me on different stations in the kitchen.
Oh, and that's so you again, really got to so learn about the, everything.
So from the pastry, then I went into the kitchen, and then that was a takeoff from there.
And where were you trained?
I trained, so it was at L'Auberge de Lille, which is in Alsace, east part of France, where I'm from. And then at that time, it was the only three-star Michelin restaurant. So it was really, and it's still up to today, it's a three-star Michelin restaurant, right? So it's very exciting, and it's still there, except now today, it's Marc, who we grew up as kids, who now runs the restaurant, yeah. So but that's where I get my training. I spent 4 years there.
And why did you leave France to go to Brazil?
The reason why I left France to go to Brazil is I was working for another great chef and mentor, Roger Verger, in south of France, who had the Moulin Mougin at that time. So from L'Auberge, when I went to south of France, I worked there. So Roger Verger, that's when the trio between Roger Verger, Paul Bocuse, and Gaston Lenôtre branched out, right? It's when opened restaurants in Japan and in Spain and a little bit everywhere, in Brazil too, both of three of them opened in Brazil. So Roger Verger sent me to South America to open his restaurant. So I was very excited. I was very young, and that he would actually pick me to open up his restaurant.
Did that influence your food a lot?
Oh, totally, yeah. Oh, totally, also, yeah, absolutely. So that's how I ended up in Brazil, running then Roger Verger's restaurant.
Okay. And then why did you decide to open your restaurant here in San Francisco? You opened in 1986, is that correct? And why did you choose here?
Well, I came to San Francisco in 82. Mm-hmm. And the way I came, it was still through Roger Verger, because as I was operating his restaurant in Brazil, he decided on opening up a restaurant in San Francisco. So he brought me over here to open up the restaurant. And that's how I came to San Francisco. And then 4 years later, I actually took over Fleur de Lis restaurant. But it was also through Roger Verger that I came to, Brazil, I came to San Francisco.
And what were your biggest challenges in opening up this restaurant?
The biggest challenge here was, like in Brazil first, was the language. I had to learn English. And then in Brazil, I had to learn Portuguese too. But challenge-wise, food-wise, it was a much easier task than actually in Brazil, I must say, because even in 82, I could tell there was like an underground revolution when it came to food, right, and wine.
Here,
I have the wine country here.
Definitely,
so some of those farmers came to see us as chefs already, bringing us little products, which at that time, in 82, there was no farmer's market, or there was no fancy food store yet, right? It all popped up very quickly, right? But we are chefs, we could tell it was already going, right? It was all underground, it was still building already. So it was starting becoming kind of a dream for a chef to be here. And then
so it was the perfect time for you.
Perfect time. That's why I'm still here.
And what are your biggest challenges now when you open a restaurant? Because now you have a Fleur de Lis in Mandalay Bay, you have a burger place in several areas in St. Louis.
Yes, that's right.
So
yeah.
What are your challenges now when you look to open a restaurant?
I think you have to become more like a business person also beside a chef, and then having so many employees, you have to become a psychiatrist and then a parent and everything, right? In order to keep the consistency, because that's the key of all operations. If it's a burger place or an upscale restaurant,
right,
it's the consistency. And the biggest challenge is, in order to get the consistency, is your employees, right? Finding the right people, get them the right training, make them feel comfortable that they stay. I think we have a pretty low turnover, which is good. I mean, I have employees here at Fleur de Lis that are with me 20 years. So that's the consistency.
And plus you can't be everywhere yourself and
you
every restaurant every night.
And
so.
And then I have also a corporate chef which is with me who opened Fleur de Lis in Vegas and the burger bar. So I pulled him out as a chef and he's the corporate chef. So he travels nonstop between the restaurants. And then so we're communicating very closely, right? So that's a big help too.
That's a help. Now, why did you decide to open a burger-focused restaurant, Burger Bar, which is in Mandalay Bay and also in St. Louis, and has it opened here yet?
No, we are working on it.
When will it open in San Francisco?
Hopefully this summer. I think. Yeah.
Wonderful. And why did you focus on burgers?
Oh, that was actually more like an accident, believe it or not. And I must say, I was part of the. Really started something in the industry, right? Because now you see chefs put their name on burgers.
BLT just opened a burger place in Mirage.
Thomas Keller is going to do burgers and bowls, and Bobby Flay is opening up a burger concept.
Yes,
Rachel
it's
Ray,
everywhere.
Daniel Boulou, I mean, they're all jumping on the wagon, right? But I think with the Burger Bar, I was like the first restaurant where with the chefs put the name on there and does an only burger restaurant, right?
Yeah.
But it was really through kind of an accident. I had signed the contract with Fleur de Lis in Mandalay Bay, and at that time he was with Mr. Bill Richardson, the owner, which is a client, good customer here of us. And then, of course, construction got delayed. I already had brought in my manager, brought in the chefs, brought in everybody to Vegas. And then he was in the same time opening up Mandalay Place, which is that shopping mall with the 40 shops. And there was supposed to be a concept in there of a restaurant. And unfortunately, getting in a disagreement with the operators, so basically kicked them out. And then he called me and said, could you just help me out? Just put me something in there for the opening, right? So at least I don't have an open.
So it was really a coincidence.
Totally. And so I said, I flew there, we checked it out, we didn't know what we're going to do really. And then he really is it to help him out. And he said, after 3 months, when you get ready to open Fleur de Lis, I take it back. You don't start with it, or I either run it myself, or we put an operator in there. That's how it started, right? And then when I looked at what needed to be done, I really. Whatever I'm going to be doing, it's going to be so much work that I just want to give it up after 3 months. So I had asked him if actually he would mind. Whatever I'm going to be doing in there, if we're just going to keep it. And it was basically for him, I said, just keep it, right? It's yours. It's like one less heading.
And it was so successful.
And nobody could have known it's going to be so successful. And the concept then is build your own burger. I think that's the whole concept of Burger Bar, right? And I think that was part of the success of that place.
Right.
And then using the best ingredients. We have a butcher shop. Everything is done fresh. Everything by hand. Every single burger is shaped by hand. And
wonderful.
Excuse me.
And then you just kept opening chains of those.
Yeah, and then I was very concerned. I must say, when I did open the first one, my biggest concern was actually putting my name on there. And because I felt like here I really give the press the opportunity on, it could be a risk, right, on saying, well, he had a 4-star restaurant for like 20 years, and now he does burgers, so what is he, and he's French, so what's going on, right? And I think I could have been knocked over on that one, or if somebody would have been mean or whatever, right? So I was very concerned about that. In the same time, as soon as I opened up, I saw all the industry coming in. And first I thought, well, I have a lot of friends in Vegas already, and then so as a support, it's great. They're all coming, all your chefs are coming. And then they came back. And then they came back again, right? And then the waiters and the bartenders and the managers. And as soon as I could see that the industry is coming, I knew it was a good product.
You knew.
I knew it was good because they would spread a word, they're going to talk. And if they're coming back, it's not because we're just friends, because actually they like the place. And then the press followed right after. And it was interesting. And then the burger bar took off and became a home run since.
Now, why did you pick St. Louis to start opening more restaurants?
So that's,
it's an interesting pick as opposed to like New York,
yeah,
Chicago.
Yeah, and I think that there are two reasons for it. The first, the primary reason is there's a young, very aggressive gambling group which is called Pinnacle Entertainment. And their headquarters is in Las Vegas. They don't have any casino in Las Vegas, but they have many casinos around the country and internationally. And they really loved, which is the chairman of the company, Dan Lee, loved the burger bar since day one. And he contacted me like, yeah, more than 3 years before and saying, that's what we're building in St. Louis. We would love a burger bar. So that's how we did the thing. And then on the other hand, when I saw the project coming together on drawings, right, it's a beautiful casino. There's a Four Seasons attached to it also that they built. So it's a really great spot, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, also St. Louis, another thing addition to the balance would make me decide going there. We went there with my wife. We checked up the whole scenery to see what's happening.
And you liked it.
We liked it. And we realized also that having hit the city like probably Atlanta or LA or whatever, there's so many chefs coming in, so many things happening. You're just another drop in a bucket, right? Almost.
That's right.
If you go to a city like that, you basically...
It's a big
fish.
Small pond.
Totally. And then people... And I must say, I'm extremely happy that I did in St. Louis because, of course, whenever you go to a different city, you're a little concerned, right? You're the stranger coming in.
That's right.
So you never know how you'll be really received, right? And so there was a concern about that. But so far, we are really, really well received. And then when I decided on doing the steakhouse, Sleek is called Sleek.
Right.
It just got rated the best steakhouse in St. Louis.
Congratulations.
And that's by the readers and the locals, right? So it's not, and I must say, because the best and this and that, you know, we only last that long, right? And whatever it means, to me, this time it meant a lot because it was the readers, and it's not because the best, but at least they picked Sleek, right? Being like the newcomer,
right,
the outsider, which could have been pushed on the side a little bit because St. Louis has so many steakhouses,
yes,
and good steakhouses, right?
Right.
Well, Sleek came out. I was extremely happy, right?
Now, do you have plans to open more branches of the steakhouse chain?
I think so, yeah.
Will you open one here in San Francisco or in Las Vegas?
Yeah, Las Vegas, maybe not. I think Las
Vegas...
So many steakhouses now. I think I would pick probably another city like... Just to say, like, Chicago could be a great city for that, right?
Definitely.
There are other plenty of cities there where if you bring a great restaurant in, it would work, right? And the concept is great. And
yes.
And it's a kind of a unique concept, which is a steakhouse and an ultra lounge. So it's kind of it's a little steakhouse with a twist.
Yes,
and,
but you should open one in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think
because we are really hurting for a good steakhouse there.
All right, so
seriously,
and close from here.
And how often do you change the menu here?
The menu changes constantly, right? It's not I do not do menus by seasons. You know, when some chef after 3 months change the whole menu,
right,
because I feel first in San Francisco, if you look at outside the window, you can tell in which part of the year you are. There's no really season. The trees don't change in color. We don't get snow, whatever.
Yes.
So, and in order for having consistency, I always feel like it's way too much pressure on the kitchen when from one day to the next, you're changing the whole menu at one night. It's like a new opening. You're losing consistency. I'd rather change. Of course, I go with the season when the morels are here, when the chanterelles are here, when that comes up. that's not, I changed that dish, I changed that dish, I changed that dish.
So but it's not a whole changeover.
No. And then I think to keep that consistency and the quality, it's a continuous change so that the regular customers are coming back, they never get
and
bored.
And is that
right?
Your first concern, is just to keep the consistent, totally. high quality of
it's,
the food?
I think it's number one. And even comparing with the Fleur-de-Lis, for example, the menu Fleur-de-Lis in Las Vegas, the menu is entirely different. So, of course, it's much more work, it's more, and I could say, oh, that's
a completely different menu.
Totally. So you will recognize the style, of course, because we put the menu together, right? But in the same time, if you are dining here and you decide going to Fleur-de-Lis, another experience.
Wow, so, that's wonderful.
So vice versa, it really works. Yeah.
And what has been your proudest moment as a chef?
Proudest moment as a chef is probably when I was I have a few probably. First, when I was apprenticing, and I was selected one of the apprentices to go up to Paris and to compete among the best apprentices from France. So that was like, for me, that was a highlight. It was first time going to Paris on top of it, right? So it was like, that was a huge highlight at that time. And I think the other highlight is when I had the opportunity to walk into the Oval Office at the White House and being
because
the first...
Because you cooked, you were the first
the first guest chef,
right?
Ever.
The first
basically
guest
putting my foot in the door and going into the White House and cooking for the president.
Were you nervous?
Oh, totally, yeah. I had heartbeats.
But and how do you prepare for something like that?
Well, it's I was more nervous, of course, to meet the president, right? Cooking, of course, is a concern, but since it's a small number, I focused on it. I knew what I was going to be doing. So you're always nervous, of course. It's totally,
but
totally.
That's was a huge
but,
honor for
but
you.
But a huge honor, actually, when I remember when the lady, I was working like for 2 days in the kitchen and do all the preparations, the whole thing. And then the lady came and said, the president wants to see you tomorrow in his office. And I thought to myself, it's probably just to keep me going working, right? I would never believe I would walk in the Oval Office, right? And then sure enough, that same lady would come the next morning, right, and said, the president wants to see his office. Oh my God. So when you walk there and then you wait before, right, in the room, in the front of the door, and then when you open up the door and you walk in there and the president stands there and shakes your hand. And then
it's a little surreal, isn't
oh
it?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was extremely
pretty,
highlight. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Okay. And how did you get to host your show, Secrets of a Chef? How did that come about to have your own PBS television show?
I think the show came about.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And we're just starting the new season, actually last week, right? A new 26 shows is coming out.
Wonderful.
So we are totally excited. And then the lady, Margie Poore, which is the producer, it's Margie Poore Production. She did some videos, I mean some shows for different schools around the country, where different academies, right, where she had asked me to do a couple of recipes. And I think probably the way I came across on camera when she was filming me, I guess she thought there's an opportunity. Yeah. And then after, I was invited on Top Chef.
Top Chef, that's right. You were judged several times.
Yeah, several times I get reinvited. And actually, I was there yesterday. Yeah, for that's I flew back this morning earlier, so it's exciting.
Is that exciting for you
totally.
See these young chefs
and
see what they
absolutely
cook?
And it's exciting because the first series of Top Chef, the first episode,
you were on that.
It was right here.
Oh,
it was right in the restaurant, so it started here. So
wow.
It's pretty exciting. So and I think Margie then by seeing that, of course, was also easier to get a sponsor. Right on saying, well, that's what it and so that's how we came. So we did last year. We did 13 shows, and obviously, yeah, he came across
wow.
really. I mean, the year before, so it came across really well. So that now, then the sponsors and Margie said, we're gonna double up. We do 26 shows, and so that's what we just done. And the first one last Saturday.
And how do you manage all of this? Because you have restaurants in St. Louis, restaurants in Las Vegas, restaurants here, and an opening coming up here, plus the TV show, plus I'm sure you go out to different places to speak and to teach and to do demonstrations. How do you do it?
You're just juggling. But I think first you have to know what you do. And because it's your life, right? It takes away. And I'm extremely lucky that Chantal, my wife, we're sharing the same thing, the same passion. We're running those restaurants together, right? So on that side, there is no break
right.
on saying the family life suffers. We do not have any kids either, right? So we're constantly involved in our restaurant, and we love what we
but
do.
But together, and, too,
or together, everything
yes.
together. And then when we
Wonderful.
When we go on vacation, we go checking restaurants out, and we still love it and have a good time, right? So I think we're really sharing the same passion.
And
I think that's what makes it
Any
possible.
Advice on someone who wants to become a chef and someone who wants to eventually have their own restaurant?
Yes, somebody wants to become a chef, I would recommend him to... I would definitely not discourage anyone to do chef because the times are still right. They're great times to become a chef right now. It's an unbelievable profession, right, where you can express yourself, you can create a network, friendships, customer support, you can get yourself investors who believe in you just because you know how to cook, right? So I think, and you can travel through that profession, and it's a totally exciting profession. And I'm as excited today, even more than when I was even younger about it. And I must say, it's really the truth. But you have to give up many other things. And you have to be ready for that. And it's not a short run. It's not saying getting excited of it because that's what it is. And it's a long time commitment.
Because it looks very glamorous for people who are watching
exactly.
Top Chef,
exactly.
you know, and all of the reality shows. But it looks very
yeah.
glamorous,
and you see chefs
but
in magazines, and in reality, that's another side of the coin where it's not always rosy, right? And it's
a lot of time in the kitchen.
It's a lot of time. It takes your life. Yeah, I probably sleep 5 hours at the most. And that's for years and years and years, right? And work 6 days, sometimes 7 days. And so I said, you better have a passion for it.
Right.
Otherwise,
you're
going to burn.
It.
You're
okay.
Gonna burn.
And if you could cook anything for dinner, what would you cook?
Anything?
Anything. And you had anything to choose from.
Somewhere there would be vanilla ice cream. I know that.
Vanilla somewhere, ice cream.
Yeah, somewhere there would be vanilla ice cream.
Did you have a passion
I love sweets.
From?
Oh my God! Yeah. I have a sweet tooth. Even growing up in a pastry shop, today I still love sweets. I love desserts, right? But otherwise, probably a meat dish, something with meat,
yeah.
red meat probably, and. Somewhere has to have truffles on it also, probably.
Yeah,
and a
definitely.
Great rich red wine sauce or something. But keep it simple, right? I must say, not because it's expensive, but I do love caviar. I must agree.
And you use
that.
It quite a lot in
we
your dishes.
We all use it, yes. Because I think it's still one of those elements which, especially now with the American sturgeon caviar, right? It's not like we're killing this fish.
Right, yes. And so for you, what's next? The opening of Burger Bar in San Francisco.
That's great.
You're
that's
working on
big
that.
Excitement.
And also the television show.
Sure. Yeah, television show. And probably going to do another show after that. I have a book coming out in April.
Wonderful.
So that's another project. And I've worked on it for the last 2 years. It's and the whole thing, it's actually a burger book. It's based on burgers. Some really
Will you
cool
sell it
burgers.
At your burger
Oh,
places?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's coming out. It's published by Wiley in New York, right? Wiley and Son. And it's a cool book and one of a kind because so far nobody has done a burger book. I mean, a great burger book,
yeah.
right? So I really
Lovely.
Wanted to do that. So yeah, there's always something going on. So it's
Wonderful.
It's exciting.
Well,
totally exciting.
I think that's it.